Andy Hart at WEEI.com is kind enough to slide up an hour today because we are at Fenway Park in the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. Andy Hart, good afternoon. Or morning, I should say. Yeah, I'm used to saying afternoon. It's morning.
Yeah, it'll be afternoon soon, and you got the old Gresham Fourier getaway day, so you can get away from
there. You go. Oh, yeah, when you see a man holding a cold, foamy latte roaming around on a wheelie cart, you know that it's Fourier.
Yeah, if I was doing that, I would be the one on the ground with my legs tied up like a pretzel and the coffee on my face.
My neck! My back!
Oh, yeah,
you'd be like Ezel from Friday.
The worst thing about this scooter is you're tempted to just use the one hand, and it's the most dangerous thing you can do.
Yeah.
Just don't do
it.
And
you're not athletic enough. I've said that many times over the years that you'd be going one-handed on the scooter.
Oh,
I don't know why. I don't know what.
He's not so
all these shots, so uncalled for.
He's not Big Perk taking batting practice.
No. I bet you if you put a bat in Andy Hart's hand, he would also question what end he should hold.
No. I would show you why I was a stud in high school.
Oh, geez. Okay, Al Bundy.
Well, the bat's three quarters his size. So
that's right.
Is that what you're doing there?
Thank
you for bringing it back
using
around.
A long bat there. Are you kidding me?
Hey, son, you sure you want to grab that bat?
Yeah.
It's a little heavy for you.
I almost said with Terp. With Perk, it looked like a twig. With Hart, it would be like, it comes up to your shoulders.
Yeah.
All right, we got any questions about Drake May? Let's move on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Do you have your May Day help
May
bracelet
way.
Or whatever it is?
The May Way.
Oh.
Okay. So I need to add a layer of objectivity because I'm not sure. It's always interesting for me to watch OTAs and then wonder what sort of the takeaway is going to be, what everybody's going to be blogging and writing and podcasting and saying, and then what the fans are going to take from that because they don't get to see it themselves. So yesterday, I think it's good news that the reps went Jacoby Brissett, Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, Bailey Zappe. Like, okay, maybe a little step forward here for Drake May in early June, and that could be a sign of progress, and that's great. But also the takeaway has to be this passing game blows if I'm taking it off of yesterday's practice. Like, I mean, Christian, I've never seen anything in my time this bad. Losing versus air, incompletion after incompletion versus air, no defense. We're shorts, T-shirts, and we're running skeleton, whatever, and the ball's hitting the ground time after time after time in the red zone. And I'm like, I've never, and when I say I've never seen this, I'm talking about like, you know, when I used to coach 10-year-olds in flag football warm-ups, you complete the passes. When you're not playing against anybody, why does the ball keep hitting the ground? So it's great that Drake May took elevated reps, but the passing game looks pretty putrid right now.
You know what, Andy? This is what I think about. So I just don't know if they're going to have enough time. I think the panic comes in around end of August.
Yep.
When you're the coach, you go, we didn't have enough time. There wasn't enough time for them to figure it out. There weren't enough games. They're just too young. Everything's too new. It's baptism by fire. Here comes the first game.
And I wonder, because if you guys listen, I'm not sure how much you listened to Alex Van Pelt yesterday. We talked to him before practice, and he was very optimistic. He had a very positive tone about, you know, Drake May is impressive, and this looks good, and the guys are taking drills and putting them in team. And I do want to say, you know, they're a couple weeks into this. We're six practices in or whatever it is of OTAs. I don't want to put everything on yesterday's session that wasn't great, where there were dropped balls, interceptions. But I wonder, is Alex Van Pelt going to be one of those, like, he's always happy, and he's always optimistic, and he's always taking the positive side, and that's just his tone and tenor and how he goes about his business? Or is he really optimistic? Because it is the first week of June. We do need to understand that. And as you said, it's a timeline. And maybe they have this massive leap after mandatory minicamp into early training camp. Like, maybe they're like the light bulb goes on and all of a sudden they're all catching passes and it all looks good and the timing gets there. But I do wonder with you, okay, If we're going to be extremely negative, can we be extremely negative for a minute? And I know that I'm being extremely negative.
I would normally
I get yelled at for that. I'm dying for this.
Because you do it in a douchey fashion and like you try to like poke people's buttons.
What's wrong with you today?
You mean I do it in a douchey way?
You mean I'm shocked that we're questioning if the offensive coordinator hired by St. Mayo is really a huggy guy all the time, even when the house is on fire?
No, that's fair. But yesterday,
suggest that?
No, yesterday you retweeted.
I'm gonna get yelled at for that.
Somebody yesterday tweeted that, like, you know, OTA open to the media, not open to the public, and you were like, "Oh, I thought things were different under
Mayo."
Yeah,
that's like, right. Yeah,
no, that's how it works.
I read it just like that, Andy.
Right.
I read
exactly.
It's funny. We both read it the same way.
Exactly. And we all know that OTAs are closed across the NFL to the public. They're not open to the public. Like, that has nothing to do with a young head coach, an old head coach, like anything. These are not open to the public. So that's where you take it a little too far. But if I were going to embrace the negativity, I will tell you this. So when this debacle of a against air session in the red zone was happening yesterday and ball after ball was falling incomplete, I turned to a couple other members of the media on the Hill. I'll throw one under the bus, our former friend Mike Giardi. And I go, I think 0-17 might be in play for this team.
What?
And guess what? I got no pushback from anybody. They're like, yeah, it might be. Like, that's, and again, it's June, it's shorts and t-shirts, but you have a lot of questions, and in the NFL, you generally don't answer all those questions positive. In fact, you generally acquire more questions along the way, right? Like, we don't know who their left tackle is, and that's a question in June. We know their right tackle and their center, and those are going to become questions at some point, too, because somebody's going to get hurt that you don't, you know, expect to get hurt. And I just look at this team, and I look at Juju kind of limping around on the side field, and I look at Javon Baker today, yesterday, being down on the lower field, dealing with something, not taking part in the practice. And I just thought to myself, they don't have a lot of wins on the schedule. To flip the script from our buddy Tom Curran a year ago when he said there's a lot of wins all over the schedule, there are losses all over this schedule. I think there's only a couple winnable games, and if you don't steal those, I am honestly wondering if them becoming the first 0-17 team in the history of the NFL is in play this year.
How does a defensive lineman dominate when there's no contact?
Exactly.
Help me with that.
He tries hard. He's a tryhard, and he's, you know, doing things that if this were a more veteran offensive line, because it isn't.
Say, did anybody
they would check
get,
him right
yeah,
away.
Did anybody
Logan
like would have
given him a cup
get,
check, yep. a little flick Where to was, the, you know what.
Well, where,
he's taking advantage.
Where was
of
Andrews?
That's
in,
what he's doing.
This.
He's
yeah.
See, that's a listen. There's no adult in the room
right.
that says, "What are you doing? Quit it." No, he's like older now. You're talking about
does
Mayo Barmore.
Wait for
talking
the
about Barmore
coordinator to do
that to me, man, will screw up and piss off an OC more than anything, because you just want to see it clean, right?
Mm, right.
And the beauty of like most guys like Andy and his good old friend who he used to like Mike Giardi, who he doesn't like anymore, is that you guys
he is pawns.
I mean, really, why would you like him?
Yeah.
But you guys have seen it at its highest level of what it looks like at its highest level, right? And then you've seen some years where it wasn't quite as, you know, spectacular, but it's still really good. And now you're at the opposite end, and you've seen those other teams come in and play against the Patriots. You go, oh, my God, what a difference. I've seen it when I played for the Redskins and we played against the Patriots. Like, wow, we don't look like that. They're that team that goes, holy crap, that's what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, no, I want to be cautious in evaluating, although I will say, I did like the honesty from Alex Van Pelt, because we've always been beaten into our heads over the years from Bill Belichick that the spring is not for evaluation. It's teaching camp. It's teaching time. It's installation. The evaluation starts later. And Alex Van Pelt was like, with all due respect, I'm evaluating everything. I'm evaluating drills. I'm evaluating footwork. I'm evaluating whether he makes mistakes, whether he makes mistakes again after I correct him on the mistakes. And I think that's in part because of where this team is in its development. Like, all these guys have something to prove. And going back to Barmore, for example, he just got the big new contract. Does he want to look like he's the guy that's fat and happy? Or does he want to look like the guy that's, oh, he's busting his ass out there and he's got so much energy and he's bringing it, which is false hustle. Like, busting your ass as a defensive lineman so you can win a pass rush drill in June with no pads, no contact, is flat out stupid. It's just, it's a gym hero. It's whatever you want to call it. See if you're doing that, and I expect him to be doing that in August. I hope he's doing that against City So and whoever he's going up against in August. But to do that now is false hustle. But I think there's some of that, like Van Pelt being positive. Like, they want positivity, right? They want positive energy. They want to, you know, the stuff that Gresh is mocking a little bit, the new culture, the new energy, the hardo vibe is gone, or the this is gone, and we're changing. And I do think some of that is where that is bred for a guy like Barmore. But the reality is, this is good and bad, I'll say. This is much ado about nothing, right? Can we agree on that? Like, I can react and say, boy, that looks bad in the passing game. But it could look good in a month. It could look good in a month and a half. And we're changing our tune when it matters, when there are corners on the field, when Jonathan Jones is there and Matthew Judon is there and all these veterans that have been taking advantage of the voluntary nature of this show up. It could be a totally different story. But for the here and now, this is all we have to analyze.
What I keep landing on this, the whole what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
So I guess we're just supposed to take at face value that Alex Van Pelt knows what that is, given that the head coach has zero experience on that side and has basically kind of called himself a CEO, which means he'll just stand back and I don't know what his input would be. So are we in AVP we trust?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Lord.
Better or worse.
Yeah, and yeah.
I'm with you on this skepticism. He seems like a really nice man.
Mm-hmm.
He is optimistic. They clearly have built a trust in him because we all know he wasn't the first choice for the job. He wasn't the second choice for the job. He was well down the list. And quite frankly, he kind of pulled a Cliff Kingsbury where he was fired upward or removed of his job upward. Like, he's,
what a great,
you know,
line, fired upward. He fell
did.
Up. Yeah, he did. You're right.
He got a better role. And especially, as you point out, he's in a place where he is running the offense. It's one voice, and he has a franchise QB. He used that description yesterday of Drake May, a franchise QB that he is developing. Now, where do you mix in Ben McAdoo and how you feel about his experiences? And I know he was not great as a head coach, but he has had some good experience as an offensive coordinator, as a coach of quarterbacks, and in that area, he's going to play a role here. But there's no doubt, Mayo has been quite open with that I'm learning like everybody else about the offense. Alex Van Pelt is running the offense. I'm a CEO-style head coach. Like, that is all true. So, you know, I pull a Peter King here. I wrote a column a couple months ago that everybody's going to fixate on Drake May being the most important person in New England. The most important person might be Alex Van Pelt because he's the guy molding Drake May and teaching Drake May and getting Drake May ready through what he calls a marathon process to play and to take over and to be the starting quarterback sometime this season. So, and I can't get over, this is super negative, but Alex Van Pelt called plays for the Buffalo Bills in 2009. It took him 15 years to get the next opportunity from there in a league where offensive opportunities are handed out like freaking candy on Halloween. I just wonder
about that
darkness.
Well, how did the offense do? I don't remember that particular time. Do you remember who the quarterback was and, you know, what the situation was, buddy, or how the offense ranked?
I don't. I'd have to go back and look at that. That's a great question. I don't say that often to you, Christian, but that's
a great question.
Hey, appreciate
every
it.
Now and then.
Oh, boy. You made his day now. He's been getting picked on for his sassy coffee order, so you're helping him out here.
Okay, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. So I will say Alex Van Pelt says, I've just always – because I've asked him this. Like, you know, why didn't you get an opportunity? He basically said every place I was in – the head coach called the plays. I was in one of those systems where the head coach is an offensive coach who's running the offensive show. And he did say yesterday – he got a little – felt like he got a little defensive when I asked him about this yesterday. He was like, you know, it's the same as it's always been. I was in charge of the installation last, you know, where I've been. So he claims in the spring he was doing all the install for Cleveland under Stefanski. But to me...
Yeah, hoopie-doo. You didn't call
right.
a play.
That's
like
very different.
It's like grunt work.
Like, seriously.
It's literally grunt work.
Yeah. So you know what that is?
All right, guys, here's the next play number two, play number three. Right. Okay, turn to page five. Yeah. Okay, write this down.
And
that's...
It's a little bit like me on the Rich Keefe show. Like, Yeah, I pop in a couple nights a week, but it's the Rich Keefe show. If it fails, it's Rich Keefe's name on it, not my name on it, right? I can do my best. I can fill in however I fill in.
Oh, I mean,
it is what it is. You put my name on a show and it fails, everybody remembers that I failed. If you put me on Rich Keefe's show, they remember Rich Keefe's show failed. So he was Andy Hart on the Kevin Stefanski show in Cleveland. Now he's running the AVP show in New England. If this fails and if Drake May doesn't develop, there's only one person to blame, and that will be Alex Van Pelt.
Just real quickly, the one thing that is making me very uneasy down there, and again, I know we're in the wee phase, however,
talent?
No, why do they keep talking about Drake May as a franchise quarterback?
Because he is.
Why,
number three pick in the overall.
I get that, but you're
still...
with the
pick.
Oh, well, then what the hell? Just hand him the job then at this point. Like, we're
not
talking about
that.
Him. We're talking about him as if he is like a ready-made guy.
Who is talking about him like he's ready-made?
Well, again, when you reference franchise quarterback, how about potential franchise quarterback, or I like the way this guy is trending, or something. We're already talking about Drake May as a franchise quarterback, and then we're praising him on footwork.
So you don't like the fact that he's been anointed the franchise quarterback.
Give me five franchise quarterbacks. But Mayo is already, sight unseen before real practice, attaching himself to this kid.
Oh, he has to.
Again, you can couch it a little bit. He doesn't have to come out again, because if he were really backing up his words, then it would be just throw his ass in there if he were the real franchise guy.
Well,
that's the part that gets me, is that it feels like it's pushing it on him, and those who are in the "Wee, Mayo's telling us stuff" mode that are fans out there are going to start having real raised expectations of this guy versus the "Hey, we all need to learn here for about 8 weeks." That's
all. You can't have more raised expectations than, you know, he's the third pick in the draft. Everybody knows it. He is the future of the team. And I actually
think one guy, the most recent number three pick at quarterback, sat for 3 years in San Francisco and everybody forgot about him.
Yes, but if you say, you know, we got a guy who's a potential franchise quarterback.
There you go.
But doesn't that open the door of, oh, wait, they're not even sure? They took a guy that they're not sure about? I like that they are saying, this guy has everything you look for in a franchise quarterback. Whether he will be one or not, I think everybody understands there's no certainty. In fact, there's a lot of uncertain times in developing quarterbacks at the top of the draft, and it's an inexact science and all those things we hear. But and they're not giving him the job the way Belichick, quite frankly, gave people jobs over the years. Like Cole Strange, when he was just gifted the left guard job. And I know left guard versus quarterback, two very different things. But they needed a guard. They took a guard in the first round. And they put him from day one of every camp and every rep in the starting job. They anointed him. I like the idea of making him earn his job and saying, well, we got a guy, Jacoby Brissett, who's run this offense before, who's won games in this league, who's been a starter on multiple teams. You need to prove you can beat him first before you're a franchise quarterback. But the idea is, I mean, I think you can do what you're saying, Gresh, but I think everybody knows you're full of crap if you say potential franchise quarterback. Like, you drafted this guy to be the future of the team. Robert Kraft called it the most important draft pick of his era, right?
Oh.
Like, that's reality, Gresh. You can grunt and groan and sigh and hate it, but it's reality and everybody knows it, and I have no problem acknowledging reality and being truthful.
All right. Well,
alrighty.
Get ready for the next decade.
Oh,
here we go.
You're damn right, and I'm excited about the May way, and I'm not going to let you suck the fun out of it just because he threw a couple picks yesterday and didn't look great.
I want you to push the chips to the center of the table. You and Shime running around pantsless.
Drake May will win a playoff game. Guaranteed.
For another.
When?
Oh, hold on.
Some point.
Talk about an open-ended comment.
Yeah.
Then I know Andy Hart. I never said which team.
Yeah. He'll also be 30.
Nope.
Right.
He'll win a playoff game for the New England Patriots at Gillette Stadium in the next 5 years. Guaranteed. Gillette Stadium, home playoff game. He'll win it next 5 years. Drake May, and he'll be helped by the left tackle they take with the number one overall pick in this year's draft.
Oh, thank you, Andy.
We'll get to that later.
Thank you very much for co-signing on what I told Gresh yesterday.
Are you kidding me?
It'll never happen.
Whee! The number one pick. It can bring us all kinds of picks. Here we go. Yee.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Hart knows what he's doing. All right, brother. We'll see you
later. All right, man. Later.
See you guys.